If you'd like to follow the reading, it's from Acts, it's chapter 8, and it's going to be verse 26 to 40, and it's about Philip and the Ethiopian. In the Church Bibles, it's page 1101 in the New Testament section of the Bible. So it's Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candrake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared as Otus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
So this story we're going to look at now, that's from Acts, this conversation, is really helpful for us, I think, at this point in this series. We're coming towards the end of it, and we've spent some time thinking about the challenge of changing and growing. And also the idea about being people carriers, if you remember from a previous service, helping people to meet Jesus, taking them to Jesus. And today we've got a really good example of somebody who did this in an amazing way, because he was the right person at the right time, and it was a stranger, which is it's a fascinating conversation. I had a chat with a good friend of mine recently at college called Andy. And he shared a very similar experience to the one that Geoffrey had. And I thought I'd share it with you because it's a really good example. Geoffrey's is a good example of this as well. He was coming up to college, coming up from Chichester a couple of weeks ago. And he has to get up really early in the morning to get the train to come up. And very often he uses the opportunity to study or to read. But he was a bit tired, so he thought he'd have a bit of a snooze instead. But he didn't realise that God was going to use him on that journey. And it was really exciting because he sat down and then he started to get into conversation with a young Muslim traveller, a young guy. And Andy said it was one of those moments where he just knew that he was in the right place at the right time. And he opened up, he was able to, the fellow passenger wanted to find out where he was going and what he was up to. So he was able to say, "Well, I'm off up to college and I'm training." He was trained to be a minister and I'm doing theology. And the other guy was really fascinated and they had this really long conversation. And Andy said at the end of it, they swapped addresses and they're going to keep in contact via the internet, which of course is really possible to do all these amazing things now, isn't it? But for Andy, he was just really encouraged by that. It was a disruption that he wasn't expecting, that he was in the right place at the right time. And the story that we've looked at today is all about that. It's all about Philip, isn't it? This interesting person that we get a glimpse of, just a short glimpse of, in Acts. So what do we know about Philip? He's quite an interesting person. First of all, we learned that he's one of the seven deacons, which is quite relevant for us this week, isn't it, as we've been nominating deacons. He was chosen, set apart in the early church to help with the work there, particularly with practical support and looking after those that were vulnerable in the church. So he was obviously somebody that was respected in his church community. But the story also tells us a little bit more. He was used by the Spirit to be a herald, to speak out good news about God's kingdom. And if you go just back before Acts 8, you'll find some stories of Philip being used in a most amazing way. He went up to Samaria to speak to the people in that part of the country. And that's quite interesting because that came about because of persecution in the church in Jerusalem. If you know a little bit about the story of the very early church, it started in Jerusalem, but then they experienced lots of persecutions, lots of barriers and obstacles and difficulties. We've been talking about that in previous weeks. And because of that, they were scattered everywhere. It wasn't their choice, and I'm sure they didn't want to do it, but the whole church was scattered because of persecution. And it so happened that Philip went up into the area of Samaria because of this, and it was a barrier that became an opportunity, and he started to talk to the Samaritan community there. And the story before this explains how God used him in an amazing way. There was lots of miracles happened. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and lots of people made decision to follow Jesus because God used him. Some of you will also know that the Samaritans were a community that were on the outside. They weren't really part. They weren't included within the Jewish community. So Philip was actually taking quite a lot of risks here. He was moving out of his own cultural comfort zone, and he was widening, beginning to stretch the boundaries of what the early church was going to be like. So he was quite an interesting character because he actually took quite a lot of risks in doing this, to be welcoming and to invite outsiders, people who wouldn't traditionally have been included. So he's an interesting character. And at the end of Acts, we find him, he's settled down, he settles into a place called Caesarea. He's described as an evangelist, somebody who shares faith. And it also tells us that he's the father of four unmarried daughters who prophesy. So that must have been quite an interesting household, wasn't it, to live in for him. So he's an interesting family in lots and lots of ways. But here we find him in the story that has been read to us by Alistair. And he starts up a conversation with a very high-ranking, influential financial minister who's believed to be a black African. The Bible tells us in this story that he's a single man. He's very, very different, isn't he, to Philip? He's a mover and a shaker amongst the great and the good. He'd probably be equivalent to someone like Rishi Sunak in our own country. I often wonder when I read the passage, I wonder what Philip thought when he put his head round the chariot and suddenly saw this really important person sitting there. I think if it was me, I probably would have taken quite a gulp and done a few arrow prayers at that point before I started to share something. But Philip seems to have taken this all in good stead, and he starts to share his faith, doesn't he? And we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail and some of the background to that before he started to do that. But why I think this story is really timely for us, and of course didn't know what would be happening in our discussion as we were planning the programme a few months ago, I think it's really helpful because last time we talked about some of the barriers when we did our workshop around mission, and we talked about the challenge that we have. Rosemary's talked about this in her prayer around how often we can feel quite fearful about stepping out in faith and sharing our faith. Maybe we're worried about being rejected or ignored, or what might happen to us if we do it. And for some of us, that's really real. We work in environments where it's actually quite hard to share our faith and to do that. Some of us just don't feel confident. We're not quite sure what to say and how to say it. And also, I've picked up a sense of vulnerability when we were talking about it as well. What happens if I mess up, if I say the wrong thing, if I get it all wrong? So it's really helpful to have this story at this point because we can learn such a lot from this conversation between Philip and the Ethiopian. So I'm going to share with you a few thoughts about this, first of all. First of all, I'm going to talk about Philip, because it's really clear, isn't it, from this passage that he was the right person at the right time. It tells us that the conversation took place on a road, which is interesting. It didn't happen in a synagogue or in the temple. This was outside and on a road, out in his everyday place. So we've been talking about front lines, but it was out there. It wasn't inside a religious place. And it also tells us that before he even got to that, he heard the angel of the Lord to tell him to go down this south road. And he does it, doesn't he? He just is obedient. And he does it. And then later on in the story, the Spirit tells him to go to the chariot and to stay near to it. Some of this must have felt a bit strange for Philip to hear some of these things, but he does it. He's obedient. So we're picking up from this story that Philip is a man who is listening and he's sensitive to God and what God is asking him to do. And that's the first thing that needs to be in place if we're going to be the right person in the right place at the right time. There's something about listening to God and being sensitive to the Spirit, being close in our relationship with God and allowing his Holy Spirit to work through us. It's something about making ourselves available and being ready to go. And that's really encouraging for us as we think about this, because if we prioritize God and what he's got in store for us each day, as we get up, I think we've been talking about, Lord, where can I join in with you today, is one of the things we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Then God will use us if we listen and we're sensitive to him. But let's think about the Ethiopian, because that's also interesting to think about as well, because we learn from this story that God was already at work in his life. He was a man that was seeking God. It tells us that he'd been up to Jerusalem. He'd done a pilgrimage. It was maybe joining in one of the festivals that happen regularly there up at the temple. He was a man that wanted to discover and learn. He was asking questions. He just couldn't make sense of it all. He just needed some help to put things into place. And I think, again, that's something that's really helpful for us, particularly if we're feeling fearful or worried, that we don't need to be worried about the other person in lots of ways. We just have to trust that God is at work in their lives. It isn't our job to do the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit will do that. We just need to trust him and listen and join in with what's happening. And that kind of takes some of the responsibility away from us, the burden maybe that sometimes we carry when we want to share something that's so valuable and important, particularly with people that are close to us and family members. I think that could be really helpful, just trusting that God is at work in their lives. And then the other thing I just wanted to talk about was the approach that Philip took to this conversation, because it is interesting to see, and it's really helpful. There's some really helpful tips, practical tips for us as we think about sharing our faith with others. The first thing that you notice is that the conversation was led, wasn't it, by the Ethiopian himself. He initiated the topic for conversation, and it wasn't long before they got into some very deep conversation that was led by him, looking at scripture, which is really interesting. And I've had this experience actually at work, when I've been working with individuals, I've had an opportunity and people have come up to me and asked me about parts of the Bible, which I think is really fascinating when you get drawn into those conversations. And this is what happens with Philip. And he let the Ethiopian lead the conversation. He didn't force things into that conversation. It was led by the man himself. And then Philip also does something that's really helpful for us. Again, it takes the pressure off of it. Did you notice that he asked a question? He didn't come straight in with kind of a rote answer or feeling under pressure that he had to give a lot of information. He started by asking the question, and that's what generated the conversation. And it also meant that he got to know the Ethiopian, understood a little bit about where he was coming from and what the issue was. And that's a really good practical thing for us. When we're talking to people, it's good, isn't it, to be intrigued and fascinated by them and ask questions and find out what it is for them, what it's like to be in their shoes. And sometimes conversation then just naturally rolls out from that conversation. Sometimes it will show us that it's not appropriate to speak, that we might need to do something, or that it's just not the right time. And you've got that moment then just to discern and ask God to help you as you speak to people. So I took that away. That was really helpful for me, using questions. And then finally, as Philip gives permission, he's invited to go up into the chariot. Did you notice that? He was invited and he went up and joined him. Once he was invited by the man, he then started to share from his own faith. And it talks about good news. That's what he shared. So he didn't go in at a really deep theological level, maybe talking about what was happening for the Jewish nation and the Messiah coming. He looked at the passage that was important to the Ethiopian, but he shared good news. And for me, that says something about experience, that Philip was talking from his own experience of encountering Jesus himself and the difference that it made. It was good news, and he just couldn't help but sharing it. When you look at the definition of news, it's something about a new event. It says in the dictionary that it's noteworthy, and that you want to pass it on. That's what good news is. And that's exactly what Philip did. He wanted to share this experience of Jesus and to pass it on. And he talked from his own experience, from his own faith. And I'm sure it was something that was genuine and that it had integrity as he was speaking. And that changed everything, didn't it, for the Ethiopian? The Holy Spirit moved. It helped him to understand, to put everything into a kind of way that he could comprehend. And he was able to move into faith. And we see at this point a life-changing moment for this man. It's quite a privilege, isn't it, in this story. We see the point when he comes to faith. And that's really exciting. And it excites me when I think about people that I care about, longing for them to get to that point for themselves when they understand. And then the story finishes by the man himself asking to be baptized. And of course, Philip doesn't hesitate. He doesn't think about all the theological implications of baptizing a Samaritan. He just gets on and he does it. And it's at that point that this man is welcomed into the church, an outsider, a stranger, a foreigner, a very different man to himself. He becomes part of the church. So this story is really significant, not just for the Ethiopian, but actually for the whole baby church that was growing at that point. Because at that stage, the church began to look very different to its roots, which was essentially Jewish. It started to become a family that included lots of different people from different backgrounds, and it became more open. And so there's something really significant that's going on in this story. And in fact, when you read some of the background to this, some of the scholars think that this might have been the start of the growth of the church in Africa. You can't imagine, can you, from this small conversation, that this huge impact on a whole continent would begin. And some of you know that your church history, particularly the north of Africa, it's made a huge impact on us in our faith today. Some of the scholars that came out of the church in Africa, some of the things we believe today are rooted in that very early church. So this is an example of that very small seed that we were talking about earlier several weeks ago that was planted, and it bore this amazing fruit from this conversation on a road. It's an incredible story, isn't it, when you start to think about it. So I'm just going to recap as we finish, just a few things to think about. So this story reminds us that if we make ourselves available to God, he will use us as the right person in the right place and at the right time. And it shows us that God is already at work in the lives of our families, our friends, and the communities that we're involved in. We just need to be ready to join in with the conversation and jump in with what God is doing, and it will happen. There's also something really powerful about the Holy Spirit doing this, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us as we move as a church, as we have a longing to open up our church and welcome new people in. We can only do this if we look to the Holy Spirit to help us. And then finally, there's all those lovely practical things that Philip tells us or helps us as we think about speaking to others, about speaking on their terms, addressing their needs, asking really good questions, helping people to listen, listening to them and understand, and then actually sharing our own personal experiences with them. The only thing I just want to add is this is that lovely bit at the end about the Ethiopian becoming baptized. And it's really great to see that as part of the story. It was a natural response. It happened immediately as he came to faith. And I just want to say to anybody here, if they're not baptized, you should think about it and maybe come and have a chat with me if you want to find out a little bit more about that and what that might mean. And I'm actively praying that we will open up our baptistry pool here next year, and that we will have people that we can baptize here in the church. And I would invite you to join in with that prayer with me, because it's all that it represents of people's lives that are changed, renewed, refreshed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And are you longing for people to meet Jesus in that way? Yeah, I am as well. I really long for that. And a really practical way, or a symbolic way for me to do that, is just to think about us using this pool. It hasn't been used for a long time. And I would long, I'm longing for us to be able to, as a church community, celebrate with people as their lives are changed. So please join in with me as we pray that into our church life for next year.